This evening, I had mentioned that we're going to be doing something a little bit different, and I have asked some fellas if they would help me out tonight, and so they have graciously agreed to do that. And this morning, I issued the challenge of taking this next week and reading from chapter 11 in Mark's Gospel through the rest of the book of Mark, about the events that took place on that Holy Week before the crucifixion and the events that transpired through the resurrection and even a short term afterwards. And so I thought this evening what we would do, instead of me expounding on something, tonight we're going to listen to the gospel story, as is recorded in Mark chapters 14 and 15. So if you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, our first reader tonight is going to be Jake Sirigliano. So Jake, we're going to ask you to come, and he is going to be reading for us Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. On the garden experience.
Again, that's Mark 14, 32 through 42. It reads, "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Simon,' he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak.' Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.'"
Continuing our reading at this time is going to be Bruce, who's going to read verses 43 through 52. Bruce, would you please come? Ken is going to read verses 53 through 65. Falsely against them, but their statements did not agree.
and some stood up and gave his false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another not made by man. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses, he asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, prophecy. And the guards took him and beat him.
Bill is going to read 66 through 72. Randy is going to come and read Mark 15, verses 1 through 14. Phil is going to come at this time and continue with the gospel account in verses 15 through 23.
Call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews. struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it.
Keith is going to continue with verses 24 through 41.
And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you who are going to be destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour of darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama
sabachthani,"
"My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance, among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, the younger of the Hosea, and Salome. In Galilee, these women who followed him and cared for his needs, many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem were also there.
And then concluding our reading tonight, John is going to read verses 42 through 47.
It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God.
This particular passage of Scripture is, in reality, what this coming week is all about. This coming week is about one of the darkest moments in the history of this world, and in fact, the darkest moment that ever took place. Gives the account of the God of heaven who had come to live and teach us how to live. This God of heaven who had come to show healing and grace. This God who had performed miracle after miracle, who had accepted those who were unacceptable to the rest of society. This God of heaven who demonstrated compassion and kindness was brutalized by mankind. As we leave this particular story, we leave with a sense of hopelessness. We leave with the reality that Jesus is dead. We leave with the understanding that man has done his absolute worst to God that could possibly be done. We leave unknowingly because we really don't fully grasp what God is about to do. This coming Sunday, we're going to hear the rest of the story. To quote a famous radio personality, my prayer for each of us is that as we recount the events that took place, and I'm going to tell you folks, our tendency is to get to Sunday morning without examining Thursday and Friday and Saturday in our own lives. But my hope is that, and that's why I ended the reading where I did tonight, my hope is that we will look at ourselves over this coming week and say, where do I fit in this crowd? Am I one who has been set free because he was declared guilty? Am I one who hung beside him and threw insults? Am I one who has cried out, crucify him, by living a life that does not honor God? Am I one of the soldiers who drove the nails? Am I one of the priests, the religious holy men, who declared him blasphemous, when in reality the blasphemy comes from me? Am I one of those who tenderly took care of his remains, if you will, after the moment of death? Where do I fit in this story? Because we all do. At some point, we are all represented by someone in this story. And my hope is that we will take this next week and reflect honestly on who we are, and then celebrate who we can be because of the Sunday morning excitement. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to have a closing word of prayer. And again, I purposefully ended the story there because it's what we have to look forward to. This week will be a moment of reflection. This week will be a moment in our lives when we sincerely search our hearts so that next week we can celebrate. So let's have a closing word of prayer and ask God to give us guidance and direction and a revelation of himself in our lives. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, nothing could be added to the story of the account of Jesus that could make it any more revealing than what your word is. Father, nothing should be subtracted to make us feel good. But Father, your word is given that it might penetrate our very hearts. Your word is given that it might genuinely bring about change. There is a reason that you have included every word in this gospel account. Father, help us to search your word with a passion this week that makes us worthy worshipers on Easter Sunday. Lord, we love you, and we want to thank you for being here with us tonight. And we thank you for all of these who have come. And we ask, Lord, that now your Spirit would go with us, that you would guide us and direct us in these coming days, and that, Father, our hearts and our minds would be open and receptive to you, and that as you speak to us, we will remedy every disease that you see in us, and that as the great physician, you will heal us in all ways. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the wonderful privilege that it's been for us to meet together here tonight. For it's in your glorious and holy and righteous name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.